Hey, everybody, it's Zach here. I know this is supposed to be our first foray with Matt Smith, but I am not feeling well right now. It's not like a sick thing. It's just I've had a very long few days and it's really wearing on me. So I am going to make sure that I have the episode out later this week, but please bear with me. So for now, I hope you enjoy this little mini-sode that we did on the first 12 minutes of Dreamland. And I will talk to you later this week with the proper episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another mini-sode of Who Is My Doctor?
Hey, everybody.
Don't make fun of the way I talk.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Who Is My Doctor?
I'll be your radio DJ for the evening here on WWWQXR.
It should be WHO.
WWW.
It should be DRWHO. I'm also your host, Cassie.
And today we're going to start looking at these animated special called Dreamland.
Animated special Dreamland? Don't you mean that number one hit Matt Groening animated cartoon series on Netflix, Disenchantment?
What?
It takes place in Dreamland.
Oh, okay.
So even though I recognize these came before, every time you say Dreamland, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, we're gonna get some good shenaniganery with a drunken princess and a little cat demon and an elf. I'm excited.
So Dreamland is sort of aired between The Waters of Mars and The End of Time. It was released as six little mini-episodes, which is kind of why I thought it would make for a good mini-sode or series of mini-sodes. The first one is 12 minutes long, and the next five are all 6 minutes long.
I considered doing this as a full episode with you, but there was a couple problems with that. One, I really liked The End of Time being our 50th episode. I really didn't want that to us to lose that. Two, I couldn't really do a prefacy for Dreamland because I've never watched Dreamland. Not for lack of trying, but as we'll see, Dreamland is ugly as sin. And so it's kind of difficult to watch.
Do you know what's not ugly as sin?
It's the time vortex playing on this DVD set. Or the Blu-ray set.
Hi, I have ADHD. This is the best thing I've ever seen in my whole life. I'm not looking at Zach. I'm not nodding or anything.
She's not heard a word I've said for the last like 2 minutes.
Nope. All I keep on thinking about is my little joke about disenchantment, and that's it.
This is what it's like to look into the eyes of the Hypnotoad.
Yup.
So I know a little bit about Dreamland. I know that it's set in Roswell, you know, where the gray aliens were, and I know that the companion.
Did we visit Roswell? Or does the show take us to Roswell at any point? Or is that just.
I don't think so. I think this is the only time it does that.
Interesting.
I mean, there might be some time I'm forgetting, but to my knowledge, this is the episode that does that. The other reason I think someone really wanted us to watch it is because the companion in this story is named Cassie. Played by Georgia Moffat, who you will remember as Jenny, David Tennant's wife, Peter Davison's daughter. I said, I really don't know much about it. I know what it is, and I know some of the broad character strokes in it, but I don't know a lot about this episode itself.
Where did it air?
It aired on the BBC, but it aired as six separate shorts. I believe when the last one aired, they aired all of them back to back as like one big episode. But this was never available. But before I owned the Blu-rays and whatnot, that was really the only place I could watch it because it was never put up on the streaming services. It was never put on as part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of this little animated special. So we're going to give the first episode a little look here. It's basically the first 12 minutes of if you have the Blu-ray and you want to watch with us, it's basically the first 12 minutes of that special that we're going to be watching. And we will be back in just a minute.
Well, 12 minutes.
Yeah. But. Well, for you, it'll be like 5 seconds. And we are back from Dreamland.
Oh, what I miss.
How long have you been sitting on that bit?
Like 2 seconds.
So that is further than I've ever gotten in the show before. I usually it, like that. It's
excuse me.
Oof, that the animation on this is real rough.
I feel the same way. Hot take. I feel the same way about this as I did All-Star Superman, because All-Star Superman's a graphic novel. They draw everybody so ugly.
Oh, no. Which is sad, because I really like All-Star Superman, but I can I definitely could see it being not to someone's taste.
It's just
with a Superman's big Chinnigan look.
I there was no part about that I liked. This is giving me, you know, like the mods that they do, or like the, I'm trying to figure out the word, like examples.
I can give you my thought. It was giving me a PS1 cutscene.
Well, because there's that new thing that like now they're doing for Marvel and Star Wars movies where they do like highly detailed, like animated rough cuts of like the things they're going to spend a lot of their money and time on.
Oh, yeah. The like previs that you get.
Thank you, previs. That's what this was for me.
Yeah. I mean, there's parts of it where like their way of turning around is just having the character model spin. Like just not, there's no picking up their legs. They just rotate in space.
Everybody, we can see it, especially right now where it's paused. Everybody has the same shape.
Yeah. So just to be upfront, I don't want to blame any kind of artist for this. I'm sure
No.
Low budget, time crunch.
This was a, it's very cool that they still have David Tennant as the Doctor.
Mm-hmm. But the thing about having David Tennant as the Doctor is that, as you were saying, everyone kind of looks the same. David Tennant is a shockingly skinny man. And everyone built the same.
He has the same body type as Cassie, who I will say they spelled her name right.
That they did, even though they gave her an. It's funny that now there are two people in here who can't quite do the accent that they should be doing. David Tennant can't quite get there for English, and Cassie can't, and Georgia Moffat can't quite get there for New Mexico.
No. And then they have the, because you said that she was the only companion. I'm seeing two companions who, and I think the guy, Jimmy is his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be Native American. Yeah,
he very much is. He's even wearing the necklace.
Yeah, well, because I was like, he's got the turquoise. He's significantly not white.
Yeah.
And he has like patches on his jacket that are.
And he talked about how the U.S. military have been killing people since
the Bear River Massacre.
So, yeah, since the Bear River Massacre. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if something happens to him later that, or if his voice actor just wasn't big enough to be credited as companion. I just happen to know that the two characters I knew were in it were David Tennant and Georgia Moffat.
Well, I think it's because they are the carryovers from
the show
Doctor Who.
Yeah. So
they're like the two names that are associated. Particularly since this is not New England.
Yeah.
Or this is not England. This is very much the Western United States.
And
it might be like a very American thing of me to say, but I fucking love the West. I love it.
I don't know if you realize this. This is our first episode set in America since Dalek.
Yeah. Well, because another thing that made me laugh is like, I have to remind myself when things are produced in other countries, but they take place in the U.S., there are certain things that you do need to confirm and solidify. Because if you say Roswell here, everybody knows that that's New Mexico. We all know that it's the middle of the desert. They have at the very top of the tippy top of the episode, they have New Mexico Desert. Like 1947, they have a shot, like the opening shot that has a cow skull in a desert background. And then it pans over to a sign that says Roswell, New Mexico. Please drive carefully. Highway 40 something. I don't know.
Highway 300. Remember.
Route 66. That's not Route 66. I know that for a fact. But it's just funny to be like, wow, yeah. Thank you for telling me that it's the desert. Thank you again for telling me that we're in New Mexico. Thank you for telling me we're in Roswell. I know this. But then I have to remind myself, like,
this ain't for us.
This is not.
This is. There's a whole pond America. Between us and them.
This was giving me so many ideas of, like, it would be so cool to have Doctor Who interact more with the Men in Black.
Specifically with Will Smith.
Well, just that, because they're real, dude. It wasn't just a movie. But it's just like, yeah, like, that's such an interesting thing to have the Doctor deal with American alien agencies.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, neat ideas in this. And it's just, when I was not looking at the screen writing my notes, I was like, okay, I can get behind this because the voice acting is fine.
Yeah. It's not even like, it's really just the character animation. Like, the background sets are fine. Like, they're not like, oh my God, they're so cool. But, you know, they do their job.
It's very video gamey, which, like you said, it feels like a PS1 render. If there were more things about it that felt more video gamey, okay. That's absolutely fine. It's the fact that the character models themselves do not seem to have a huge range of motion.
Yeah.
Or they don't have a lot of points in their face where they can, like, articulate things specifically. So their jaws are just kind of moving.
Yeah. And the timing is always just, like, a little bit off. Like, our friend Tony, a.k.a. Some Jerk With A Camera, did an episode on the Country Bears movie. Where there's a moment in it where the bear's, like, jaw drops and his eyes widen and he stands up, like, because this, like, shack has fallen down behind him, but they don't seem to sync up quite right. I'm getting a lot of that with this animation, too, where, like, they'll talk and then the eyebrows will raise and then the eyes will get bigger, but they won't quite do it at the right time.
They don't happen at the same time. It's this type of animation is my favorite to, like, not make fun of. This is not for jokes or bits. I do like to mimic this kind of animation when I'm alone in my car. That, like, almost robotic, like, animatronic type where one move has to finish before another one can begin.
Yeah, it I'm trying to think. It has led to some really amusing moments. Like, at the end of this, part, they have this alien general or colonel or something like that, where
the Lord is talking to the colonel.
Yes, the Lord of the alien race. Because of the way it's animated, his eyes just, like, bug out and get legitimately bigger,
and his little mandibles. Mm-hmm. Like, and mouth and I guess mandibles. Yeah, that's like a beak, though.
I'll take but it doesn't matter. We know what you mean when you say mandibles.
They're just kind of, like, moving, not with his mouth. They're just kind of moving on their own.
Yeah, it's. I want to move on from the animation a little bit just because I feel like we could talk about that all day. I do think it's kind of funny that the plot is just the Doctor happens to walk into a diner where there happens to be a piece of alien tech that the Men in Black just happen to be driving by.
I would argue that the TARDIS brought him to that, because if it's letting off some kind of signal, the TARDIS is known to follow things if it's giving off a signal.
That's true.
So I very strongly believe that it's not like, oh, he just happens upon, because he's an Englishman.
Yeah.
He wouldn't just happen upon a, like, asteroid city diner in the middle of nowhere America.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think that the piece of tech found him.
Yeah, that's very possible. It is just kind of amusing the way he's like, oh, you have this thing here. Let me play around with it a little bit.
Howdy, partners.
Howdy there, partners.
I am American. Do you sell cheeseburgers here?
Yeah, it was the, what was it? The smell of fast food and desperation. The perfume of America.
And that has not changed in 70 years.
I really wish I could argue against that, but no.
The Doctor accidentally, quote unquote, triggers this little piece of alien tech that summons the Men in Black. They run away to check out some monster tracks. And they're like, man, whatever this is must be huge.
This ain't no panther.
And the doctor's just like opining while this giant alien has just somehow silently appeared behind him.
Yeah, it truly does just appear.
Yeah, there's like a shadow over him and everything.
There's no sound. There's nothing that precedes it. The shadow just is not there and then is there.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You know what I realized? I know you said we were going to stop talking about the animation. Each one of these fools, though, does look like a version of Stretch Armstrong.
I was going to say they kind of the soldiers especially look like the toys from the movie Small Soldiers.
We respect small soldiers in this house, buddy.
I'm just saying that's what they look like. So they get taken into Area 51, to Dreamland. And I like that the doctor describes it as America's most secret base that nobody knows about. And I was just like, I mean, everybody knows about it. But then I do appreciate that he's like, they don't even tell you it exists until 1994.
And then he goes, what?
Yeah, I did enjoy that. I was like, oh, okay, there is a point where we learn about it in history that I just didn't know about.
Not you. You were a little baby.
I was a little baby. You weren't even born yet.
I wasn't even born yet. I was born into a world where Area 51 was real.
And so, I mean, also, this is unrelated a little bit, but as we're talking about Area 51, you know the movie Looney Tunes Back in Action?
Yes.
In that they also visit Area 51, and one of the aliens that are stored in Area 51 are the Daleks.
Okay.
Yeah, just a little fun detail there for you. And so they basically get taken to this room where they're going to be blasted with amnesia gas, but the doctor remembers tricks from Houdini.
Which also, give me that episode.
That's not the last time it comes up.
Do we get a Dr. Houdini episode?
I don't think. Well, I mean, we couldn't because it would have to be with a past doctor. But the other doctors do also.
No, because if this is all timey-wimey bullshit, everything is overlapping. I mean,
he
could
always
meet
Houdini again. But yeah, there are future doctors that also reference when they met Houdini.
My God, please. BBC, please listen to me. I have a very specific need for a Doctor and Houdini episode.
Doctor Houdini.
There we go. It's right there in the title. Jeez, Harry Houdini was a Time Lord.
And so
that was just his last regeneration. That's why he couldn't come back, because his appendix ruptured and that was it.
And so the doctor escapes and pulls everyone else out. And then they just have like a little run around the hall for a minute or two until they break into this one lab where a little gray alien is sitting behind a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, oh, why are they keeping her here? She looks so sad. But they don't get long to dwell on that before the soldiers show up to shoot. And so the doctor and crew run away again onto a lift where they are met with more guns and they can't run anymore. Meanwhile,
riveting.
Yeah, right. It's a lot of running. There's a lot of running in circles.
Doesn't the doctor specifically say, though, that one of his favorite things is running?
I think that's why he wears the athletic shoes.
Oh, because Converse are very good for... for athletic.
Well, if he ever finds a sick skateboard, he can hop on it real quick.
I guess.
And then at the end of the episode, we learn that the American colonel is working with the lord of this alien race.
Which also, his name is Colonel Stark.
Yeah.
Which brought me to another thing of I would love a Doctor Who Tony Stark crossover. I just really want the Doctor to meet Tony's dad. Because now if Doctor Who is under the Disney umbrella, nothing is stopping them. Doctor Who and Marvel.
I think there actually were...
Doctor Who v. Doctor Strange.
I think there were Marvel comics that came out during, like, between the 8th and 9th Doctor. That, like, Marvel comics that had the Doctor in them. So there probably is some stuff like that out there. I'd have to look into them. I don't know more than just...
Hey, all you listeners, exist. Do me a solid. Find it. Go!
And so we
bring it to me.
We end with the colonel revealing that he's working with the Lord of the Viper Rocks, which is a fun but also very stupid alien name.
Viper Rocks.
Viper Rocks. Sounds like a name of like a late 90s acid rock band. We are Viper Rocks. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You were laughing at your own joke again.
I didn't come here to be judged. I came here to do a podcast.
I'm not judging you. I'm just calling it out. I'm calling it out.
Well, you can do some more of that on the next minisode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is Auntie?
Exterminate!
Goodbye!